Sports Professor Rick Harrell, beyond the scoreboard, the inside story of the trillion-dollar business of sports. And for Bostonians, it's wait till next year for the Bruins and the Celtics, who understand that. But the sports world never sleeps. And if you want some affirmation of that, we got George Pine, an internationally known guy who basically ran NASCAR, who ran IMG, and now capitalized a company called Bruin Capital. He is a Bostonian, by the way, so he'll give us some perspective on all of that. But he's certainly someone who has been the pinnacle of many sports organizations all around the world. If you want to see a little bit more of what we're doing on a weekly basis, CSNNE.com, and same in Chicago, 15 topics from 1 to 15. We publish that every week. And if you want to subscribe to our iTunes feed, look for us on Stitcher, Google Play, and Audio Boom as well. Let's get started. A lot of issues this week, from the NBA playoffs to the NHL playoffs to the Red Sox and Boston and the Patriots and football and all the like. Let's start with college, though. The University of Michigan rarely has a tough time filling up the big house in Ann Arbor, but this coming college football season, sales are poised to break records. The ticket base will reach, get this, 93,000 this fall, a mark that it hadn't seen since 2007. Season tickets typically hover around 90,000, and why? Well, Jim Harbaugh. The athletic department added more season tickets because of an increased demand for them, a renewal rate among existing ticket holders, an astounding 99%, 93,000 season tickets being offered, 21,000 allocated for students. It's the highest it's been since 2007. And here's my take. In an era when student interest in their school sports is on the wane, it'll be instructive to see how many of the 21,000 student seats are filled this coming fall. My bet is a whole lot of them. Well, following the footsteps of other Power 5 conferences, the ACC committed itself to launching its own television network by 2019. ACC Commissioner John Swofford wrote a memo to conference athletic directors informing them of ESPN President John Skipper's confirmation of plans to launch the network, and it has the Full Speed Ahead moniker. The new network hopes to be as successful as the Big Ten network, has been on 5 years or more now, making profits, and live for longer than that. ESPN plans to put all of its muscle and support toward the ACC network to make it financially successful. And ESPN has a deal in place with the ACC that runs through 2036, so it's in the network's best interest to ensure the financial success of the new channel. The Florida State AD, Stan Wilcox, thinks the network will be successful despite the recent talent cuts at ESPN. And my take is this. No one expects ESPN to go quietly into the night. And forging ahead with high-profile partnerships and expansion plans, one way to maintain its confidence of advertisers and parent Disney. Let's go down to the SEC. University of Alabama football coach Nick Saban got a healthy raise, believe it or not, and a few more years on his deal. The Compensation Committee of the Board of Trustees approved his new contract through the 2024 season, $8.2 million annually on average. $4 million signing bonus, giving Saban total compensation of $11.15 million in 2017. The structure of the deal different from those in the past. His base actually went down, while compensation bonuses were added. Also, Saban's 2017 earnings, by far the greatest amount paid to a college athletics coach since the USA Today Sports began tracking those numbers in 2006. Saban's $4 million signing bonus is greater than Coppin State's total athletics revenue for the 2015 fiscal year. And here's my take. The ball's in your court, University of Michigan Board of Trustees. How long before Jim Harbaugh, he of the $9 million annual compensation via life insurance policy, comes knocking? We'll just have to see. Well, that's college. And we understand the Celtics are facing an interesting time now as we look forward to the next couple of weeks. The issues for them, obviously, related to legacy and training and all of the things that are very important to building their brand. But look at the NBA in general. He's not even made an NBA team yet, but Lonzo Ball and his father, LeVar, already making waves in the league with the release of the $500 shoe. The family's big baller brand just introduced the ZO2 Prime for $400 to $700. Family's big baller brand from $995 if it's autographed. Now, compare that to Kevin Durant's signature shoe at about $195. Stephen Curry's Under Armour CA Curry 3-0, 119. And the most expensive Jordan brand shoe is the $400 Air Jordan 5 Retro Premium. And LeVar Ball recently told media the family decided to produce their own shoes when none of the major shoe brands offered equity as part of the endorsement deal in the $2 million annual range. Jordan, Durant, and Curry earned the right to put their name on expensive shoes. But the bottom line is Ball hadn't run a single NBA play. And while the sticker shock value getting to some publicity for him, it's no sure thing the strategy will pay off for the family over time. Lick your feet, do the talking, I would say, on the court. As the NBA playoffs build to conference finals, 17 NBA franchises committed to fielding teams in the 2K Esports League set to join in 2018. Teams asked to pay a buy-in fee in the low six figures to join the league, a joint venture of the NBA and Take-Two Interactive, which publishes the 2K series. And the teams will be operators and not owners. Brendan Donahue, Esport League's newly named managing director, said, "We're hoping for half the teams to jump on board, and we've got more than that. There's still a lot of teams very interested in joining in upcoming years." Notable absences at launch, including the Rockets, who in September named Sebastian Park the league's first director of esports development. Both Los Angeles teams. LA is an epicenter of the esports industry in North America, and as esports becomes more firmly entrenched, it's no surprise that the major sports leagues are finding ways to turn their digital properties into sports gold. And here's my take. Expect the NFL to jump on the esports arena next, perhaps followed by the MLS and or FIFA, UEFA, tracking the global popularity of the FIFA video games. Let's finally go to the NFL. Let's go to the Dallas Cowboys, and you know what kind of season they had, but running back Ezekiel Elliott ended up number one on the NFLPA Top 50 player sales list for fiscal year 16-17. First rookie ever to hold that honor. NFL players' merchandise for the year began beginning of March and ended this last February. Rankings include all NFL players' identified merchandise and products sold by more than 80 official NFLPA licensees via online and traditional outlets, with retail sales exceeding $1.6 billion. Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott finished number two in year-on sales. Patriots quarterback Tom Brady, who held the top spot through end of Q3, finished in the number three position despite winning the Super Bowl. And Elliott's feat proves that rookies who become major contributors on the field have the ability to equally enhance their sports bottom line off it. Tom Brady, number three? Who'd have thunk it? And my take is kudos to Cowboys owner Jerry Jones for creating the marketing platform that helped propel Elliott and Prescott to the top of the list. Well, tickets are also, from the NFL perspective, going on sale for, get this, NFL Experience Times Square, an interactive attraction opening in November. And the NFL and partner Cirque du Soleil have released details about the experiences available. The attraction will offer fans a chance to step into the shoes of an NFL player through various physical challenges, augmented reality, immersive elements, and a 4D cinematic experience with exclusive content from NFL films. Fans will be able to participate in a vertical leap test and blocking sleds, receive one-on-one instruction from a hologram of a legendary NFL coach, learn a play in a space that replicates a coach's classroom, test their skills by completing a game-winning pass to their favorite receiver, and share the stage with the Vince Lombardi Trophy. Well, here's my take. Why Cirque du Soleil? Well, the NFL views the partnership as the meeting of the minds of two iconic global brands. And certainly no one is better at creating spectacular, jaw-dropping multimedia content than the Canadian acrobatic troupe. Let's go see it at Times Square, only a little bit down the road from Boston. Can this be a transferring, rotating kind of event, kind of like the draft? Well, why not, is the answer, just like the draft has become. And the final NFL issue surrounds San Francisco 49ers' former QB, Colin Kaepernick. He remains a free agent for more than 8 weeks into this free agency, but it's because of on-field performance or off-field protesting. Some believe Kaepernick has not been signed because of his decision to kneel during the national anthem before last season's games. Others think it's on-field regression and potential distractions he'd bring to a franchise. Yet, he led the 49ers to the Super Bowl years ago. The quarterback's on-field performances dipped considerably while coinciding with his social protesting. It was reported a week before the start of free agency, Kaepernick would stand for the national anthem in 2017. And whether he stands or not, he probably won't be able to fade into the background, even though he most likely will be a backup. And here's my take. And let us be clear. If Kaepernick's on-field skills hadn't deteriorated, he'd be on a team, regardless of the potential acts that haven't really harmed anyone, but probably his marketability in the long term. Again, if you want to see the entire list, 1 to 15, CSN NE Chicago, CSN. Again, if you want to see the whole list of 15, CSNNE.com, or do the same thing in Chicago, CSN Chicago. Well, all of these issues involve one thing: leadership, marketability, entrepreneurialism, and someone who can put deals together. George Pine, been a good friend for a long time, international business executive, and the founder of Bruin Sports Capital, an investment firm that utilizes private funds to acquire and build innovative businesses across the global sports, entertainment, media, and lifestyle landscape. Since its founding in January 2015, his portfolio has grown to include more than 1,100 employees, 24 offices, 9 countries. But remember, George Pine was running NASCAR, running IMG, and has a tremendous wealth of experience in a whole bunch of different perspectives. George Pine, also a Bostonian, weighs in on a number of issues that impact sports, including his perspective on the Patriots. Who wouldn't give their perspective? George Pine.
MIT Sloan Analytics Conference, it only gets bigger and better every year. And the reason is you can have some things scheduled, and of course we have really important people scheduled, and then you can bump into relatively important people in the hall and ask them to come up. And I'm at the stage in my life, by the way, where the guys will either take pity or they're on the way to the men's room. So George Pine, how's that for an intro?
Well, it's great to see you. We've been friends for a long time.
George is very unique. I'll let him tell the story, but he has cornered the market on being very successful in a whole bunch of thought-changing organizations in a very short period of time, and then moving to the next one. I guess IMG, NASCAR, and Bruin Capital come to mind. But tell us about your career in 30 seconds.
That's quick. So we had a nice run, nice run at NASCAR, nice run at IMG. And we're back at it again at Bruin Sports Capital. We've invested in 7 companies in about 24 months with one fund. And then I'm also the chairman of a fund called Courtside Ventures that's invested in 15 early stage digital companies. So we're back at it. We're ready for action and having a good time.
Let's go broad at 30,000 feet relative to Bruin Capital. It's a risk any time you take your credibility and you go from running a large organization to running another one to effectively a startup. At your level, it's a different startup. You wouldn't have done it if you didn't have confidence in your ability, but also that the economy wasn't right.
Well, you know, I have to give some people credit.
Yeah,
you know, I work for Ted Forsman. I learned a lot from Ted. I work for Bill France and the France family. I learned a lot there. Worked for John Portman. I learned a lot there. So I think that background really prepared me well for what I'm doing now. I will say I started out in January of 2015 in the Regis temporary office by myself. And today, Bruin Sports Capital, our portfolio companies, have 1,100 employees and 24 offices operating in 9 countries around the world. That's a lot in a short time, but it's been a lot of fun.
How big did you say you were in January 15 when you started that one office?
It was just one. It wasn't even an office. It was me and a phone.
Yeah.
But we're really pleased with where we are.
The success of startups like that is, I assume you can't afford any major mistakes, but also you have to pick and choose your targets.
Yeah, and we, you know, as a startup, we have wealthy families that are global backing us up, as well as WPP, who's buys 42% of the ads in the world. So we had really strategic investors that gave us a lot of credibility. And then, you know, we've been at this for 25 years, and I think that's why, you know, our client base includes UEFA, FIFA, the NFL, ESPN, Sky, Mercedes-Benz, Anheuser-Busch. You know, we have blue-chip roster of clients.
Primary mandate of Bruin Capital?
Well, you know, one of the things, we want to take a long-term perspective and growing business. So we have long-term patient capital, and we just want to grow and build great enterprises.
Sector you really enjoy, obviously, then segue into digital, but
well, I think our boldest bet or investment is a company called DeltaTray. DeltaTray is an end-to-end media services company that's 30 years old that really provides the back-end technical solutions to FIFA, UEFA, the Premier League, the European Golf Tour, the BBC, Sky, NHK, Global. And they're very good at what they do. They've been the back end to some of the biggest events in the world, the World Cup, the UEFA Championships, the Olympics, the cricket. And so we're betting on media and technology for the future.
George Pine, can we generalize about media now? It's so hard to do it because it evolves every day. But certainly the device that we watched content on are far different than the devices that our kids watch content on. Where's it going?
Well, it's going on many platforms. I have four teenagers, and my teenagers outside of sports really don't watch TV.
Right.
And when they watch shows, it's on a device. So being around young people by force of habit, you can see people are consuming news and information quite differently. And even an old guy like me, I'm consuming it differently. So if you want to grow, you're going to have to be part of the channel change. You can't change it.
As you pick your, no pun taken, because it's a serious thing. How do you pick your investment spots in a very volatile media space, especially since you don't know what it's going to look like tomorrow?
Well, the company one of our bigger investments, DeltaTray, has been in business for 30 years, and they've been providing solutions to their clients for 30 years. They started in linear television, they started collecting data at Formula One, and with their clients, they've migrated to becoming a solutions provider and an integrated approach. So we've had tried and true companies.
And so the evolution long-term between the big guys, who are the big content guys, the four networks that everybody remembers, and the Yahoo, Snapchats, Amazons, Facebook, where is the bidding on rights issues going? Are we all going to amalgamate? Are they all going to joint venture? We don't know the answer, but what's your prediction?
We don't know the answer, and the rights are tied up and staggered, which will make it a little bit later, more later developed. But I always think, you know, when you look back in America, you know, what was Fox before it had the NFL and then after the NFL? And I believe someday there'll be a new media distribution outlet that will make a big bet on sports rights. And just like the NFL changed Fox forever, I think that'll change media as well. When that happens, who that is, that's to be determined.
Do we all agree that that is one of the most important determiners of the value propositions of franchises going forward, because everybody's saying there's got to be a ceiling and there's never a ceiling?
Well, sports rights have been going up for 25 or 30 years. I remember going into Bill France every couple of years saying, look, there's a bubble, sports rights are high, we're not going to get the increase we're going to get, and he'd say, listen, young man, you're wrong. And you know what? He was right and we were wrong. So I can say this, clearly sports rights will be the most valuable entity in the media landscape. What happens within the media landscape and how it all shakes out, I think, is to be determined.
And the biggest problem, I assume, you as a master problem solver on both sides of the aisle, so to speak, how do you deal with the sports as reality TV versus the ability to archive everything and the advertisers not understanding through their agencies that there is value to both? That's got to be a big issue.
Right. But, you know, the great thing is sports is a lifestyle and it engages people. And so I think with all the new devices and all the way to experience things, I think it actually increases the engagement. So I think the changes in media are actually create more value over time. And I think that creates more options for advertisers.
All right, George Pine, the businessman. So let's talk a little bit about IMG and your ability to ride the wave of an amazing global company. Did you ever think, I mean, when you started with it, it's a heck of a story, but it's Mark McCormick's story, but then it's Teddy Forsman's story.
Yeah, I mean, look, both guys accomplished tremendous things. What Mark McCormick did was incredible. He built a company that was truly global and was one of a kind. And so, you know, I never met Mark, but I would have loved to have met him because he was a phenomenal entrepreneur. And look, Ted Forsman came in and bought IMG for $750 million and sold it for $2.4 billion. Right. So that's my definition of a success. And I'm sure WME and IMG are going to go on to do great things as well in the future.
And then your NASCAR perspective. If you called it a family business, you would demean it, but yet it's run as a family business. But it's a billion-dollar business, and so what do you take away from being involved
in it? I think, one, I love working for a family business because all you have to do is convince a family member of what the right thing to do is, and they did it. And, of course, 95 to 05 was an incredible run at NASCAR. You know, when I started at NASCAR, it was called Winston Cup Racing.
Yeah.
It wasn't called NASCAR, and 16 races were on the Nashville Network, so... to start there and end where we did was a great run.
It's also incredible that George Pine has the ability to define success and failure based on his particular length of time with a company that he's been involved in. How do you do that?
I don't know. I'm lucky.
you're more than lucky. A couple more on NASCAR, then we'll let you go. Monster Energy, good brand, bad brand, young demographics. Sprint was such a great fit, but they couldn't control everything. So what's your take?
Well, they've had great title sponsors over the years. Even Winston, in its era, did a lot of great things to help grow the sport, absent the tobacco issue. But and Sprint was a terrific title sponsor. Look, Monster Energy, the positives of Monster Energy is they'll use the property, and it will reach a younger demo, which is important to NASCAR.
Management style, you've been in three incredibly diverse organizations. Commonalities, differences?
Well, I think I've learned a lot. I'm a lot more polished than I was 10 years ago.
I can attest to that.
But I do think each experience for me, IMG, at NASCAR, I went in, built something from the ground up, really. IMG, I came in at a very high level and had to work that was different. And so those two experiences really shape who I am today, and I think have better prepared me for what I'm doing.
Tremendous left guard at Brown, protected Mark Donovan. We've had him on before, as he said off camera, made Mark Donovan into the good-looking guy he is now.
Because that's true.
Sackless.
And
that's
he's got a good-looking wife, so I really took care of him.
Better-looking wife than Mark, got to tell you that. Could you have played in the NFL?
Who?
You.
I don't know. You know, my dad, my granddad, my brother all played in the NFL. I got hurt a lot, but I'm happy with how I turned out.
Yeah.
I was the smallest guy in my family, so my brothers picked on me, even though I was the oldest.
And Virginia Tech is in good shape.
That's my brother, Jim. He was a heck of a player, started 100 games in the NFL and has his number retired. And if you go to Plattsburgh, you'll see his name in the end zone.
So Boston gets this as well. Boston sports fan, future
love
Boston
it.
Sports,
how do you feel? You know, you can take the guy out of Boston, but you can't take Boston out of the guy. My kids are all Boston sports fans, even though we've never lived here. We go to Falmouth in the summertime. Love the Patriots, Celtics, Red Sox, and Bruins. Had a paper route, saved my money. Used to buy tickets, take a friend to Foxborough Stadium, and to watch the Celtics. I even went when the Red Sox lost in 1977 when they blew the 14-game lead.
Was that the Bucky Dent home run?
I bought tickets to four games that in September that the Yankees swept the Red Sox. I used all my paper route money. So
wow.
I go way back.
That was, by the way, the first unsuccessful venture that George Pine has ever been affiliated with. So, and the other thing too is, I've done interviews when George has been in Dallas and he puts the kind of fake Southern accent on.
Yeah, you know, y'all doing? I got a company we bought in Italy, DoubleTrace.
Oh, I can't imagine with your Italian.
So now I say ciao. George, I used to say y'all. So there you go.
That's perfect. Comment just for the Boston folks about your perception of the Patriots organization. You know, the Krafts are sponsoring this thing as well, and this is not a homer for them, but as a Dolphin fan, it's not even that anymore. It transcends. Best organization in sports?
Hard to argue that they're not. I mean, and it does start, you know, I've been at this for a long time, 25 years. It does all start with the owner. The Patriots ownership has done a fantastic job. And it was a tale of two cities because in New England, the Patriots never had stability in ownership, and now they couldn't be more stable. And you cannot give them enough credit.
Where's Bruin Capital in 5 years?
Building bigger, better, and stronger than ever.
Ladies and gentlemen, I will tell you, 10 years ago, you'd have heard some crap. That was really polished.
Thank you. Good to see you. My pleasure.
Appreciate it.
Well, we'd like to thank George Pine for his perspective on all of this, and we'd also like you all to take a look at the 15 to watch, as we do every week. And again, if you want to subscribe to our iTunes feed, look for us on Stitcher, Google Play, and Audio Boom. like to thank Jason Levine and Tanner Simpkins for putting this together as they do every week. And again, I'd like to thank you for watching and listening. And join us next week when we go Beyond the Scoreboard.